A lot of times we think about the Christmas story, and I don't know about you, I say OCD, but I like to do things over again. Whenever, every time I leave the house, I say, did I shut the garage door? And if nobody answers me, either because they don't remember or nobody's with me in the car, sometimes I'll go back and make sure I shut the garage door. There are a lot of things I'll go back and make sure and do it again. Many times I will go back and repeat myself, and someone will say, you just said that. And I say, I know I just said that, but I'm not sure I said it right, so I wanted to say it again. And a lot of times when we think about the Christmas story, God determined that it would happen that way. And we always say, well, if I were God, I might ask to do it over a different way. We talk about, you know, the poorness or the poverty that Joseph and Mary seemed to be in because there was no room in the inn, and that only shepherds came and celebrated. No big dignitaries or politicians showed up. It was just the shepherds, and then later on the wise men came. But those of us that think about doing it again, and as soon as I get done tonight, I'll say I wish I would have done these things different. But those of us that think that way think, well, I wonder why God designed it that way. Because if there was anything in life, in anything in history that happened the way God wanted it to happen, it was the Christmas story. That was the way that God wanted it to happen. He supernaturally superintended that event, and God designed it. And really, life is that way. It happened that way because God wanted it to be that way. And for unto us is born a child. Jesus had to be born a baby. And I know we already kind of touched on it, all the music touched on it tonight, but Jesus had to be born in that helpless condition. And I know in my own life, until I was present for the birth of my own children, I never realized that you don't see life as fragile as it is until you see the beginning or this side of this life, when you see that birth, when you are there, when it begins, and you realize how fragile it is and how quickly it could go away and how it really hangs in the balance and all the way through, and then when it actually happens. I talked about my son Aaron when he was born. It was an emergency, and they pushed me out of the way, and there was a time where we didn't know if we'd have a baby alive or not, and that vulnerability that Jesus decided, that God decided to send his son as a baby and to send him to a manger and to send him to the time and the place that God decided to send him, and how it teaches us how important that life is, and that life is a gift, that God gave something special to us, and that he decided to use that same vehicle to deliver his son to us. That fragility, that vulnerable ability that God gave the baby Jesus, not a man, not somebody that was ready to lead and somebody that was ready to teach, but someone he entrusted us human beings to watch over. It teaches us how important life is. It teaches us to trust. The first thing that God did was with his son was give it to another human being and say, I'm going to trust you with my son. I'm going to trust you to feed him and take care of him and to raise him to be what I need him to be. God trusted in us to get his son to the world. Anytime you trust somebody, whether you realize it or not, you're giving up some of your power. It might be perceived power. You may never have it to begin with, but you still feel that you are giving it up. And, of course, Jesus did that. The Bible says in the book of Philippians, when Jesus came, I marked my Bible. We lost power today, so I won't give you the whole spiel about my excuse for flipping through my pages here. Philippians chapter 2, it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And that's what God decided. That's what Jesus decided to do. That's how he decided to come. It took our trust. It showed us how important life is. And it gave us the picture of the necessary faith. The Bible talks about it in 1 Peter chapter 2, where it talks about the faith of a child. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 says, "Laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." And God decided to send his son as a baby, someone that you would never assume had malice and greed and all those bad things, because he came as an innocent baby, and he showed the necessary faith. The same faith that we need to receive Jesus, the faith of a child, is how God decided to start Jesus' life. So he had to be born a child, and he had to come unto us, for unto us a child is born. God had to meet us where we are. The Bible says in Romans that while we were yet sinners in our sin, that God showed his love, commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. And Emmanuel, God had to make himself available to us through Jesus. It had to be that way. He had to be born a baby, and he had to come to us. We couldn't get to him. Jesus died for all of us. It had to be the baby. It had to be unto us, and then it had to be us. Many times this morning we talked about we are special to God. I am special to God. You as an individual are special to God. But Jesus was given for us, unto us, all of us. And we are, each of us are special. We're part of a special family here. And this family here isn't all of us that Jesus was given for, but it's a special part of what Jesus gave his life for. All of us are important to God. And it had to be unto us. It had to be us. And the Bible says, John chapter 3, verse 16, For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. And God loved the world. When he gave Jesus, he loved us. And a lot of times I think about that when we get saved. We think if it was just one person, Jesus would have died for that one. And that's true. But God gave Jesus to us. And for unto us he is given. And the Bible says in 2 Peter, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And again, this is a stressful time of year, an inward focus time of year when you're thinking about Christmases past and how you want this Christmas to be the same, or how you want this Christmas to be different, or what you want to change. And, you know, some of us are looking back at 2013 and saying, I wanted this, this, and this to be different. And now next year it'll be 2014 and I'm going to be making the same decisions again that I made last year. And all of these inward focus, all of this self-examination and thinking about yourself and your family and where you want to be and what you wish you would have accomplished. And we fail to remember that Jesus was given unto us, all of us. He was born to all of us, and God knows us. God knows who he gave us to. And I thought about this when you get a gift from somebody. And I've gotten a few gifts just in the last few weeks. And you start to think about the person that gave you the gift. And then you start to think about all the things, all the ways that you've treated that person. And you almost want to get to the point, I've done this, where I want to call them and say, all right, this is Adam. You remember that one time when I did that? And remember that other time when I acted that way? And why are you still expressing this love? Why did you still decide to give me this gift? And a lot of times we look at God and say, he decided to give us his son when he knew what we were. And the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, God decided to give us the best gift that he could give us. And one of my favorite passages is in the book of Psalms 103. A lot of people use it when they talk about the forgiveness of sin, but it also says what God knows about us. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. If you think about it, you have to know what the person's doing in order to show them mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, as far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. And God knows who we are. God knows who he created. And God knows our sin. And even though God knew us, in spite of that, in spite of the fact that God knows us so well, he gave us the baby Jesus. He gave us the gift of salvation through his son. And the best gifts come from the ones that know you the best. The best gifts are the ones that you can look at and say, you know what? In spite of what they know about me, they still decided that they love me enough to overlook what they know about me and give me more than I deserve, give me better than I deserve. And God's the same way. He knows us. He is, and he does understand what we are. He knows what we are capable of, and he knows what we would be without Jesus. And he decided to give us Jesus anyway. In spite of us, he gave us his son. It had to be a baby. It had to be unto us. It couldn't be us going to him. And it had to be all of us. Those people that know us best. All of us. And tonight, this is the main point of the message, and we'll be done. If it's all of us, then it's those of us that trust God. Those of us that no matter what happens, there's never a doubt. There's never a fear. There's never a wavering. We're rock solid. It's those of us, if you're in that category. But if it's truly unto us, it's also those of us that wonder. And we sing a lot. If you think about Christmas songs, a lot of them are kind of depressing. If you think about them, they're kind of in a minor key, and they're kind of slow and plodding. And one of them, what we didn't sing today in Sunday school, was supposed to be, I wonder as I wander. And that sense of what child is this, that figuring it out, that coming to grips with what's happening, trying to figure it all out. And Christmas is a time of remembrance, and you know, a time of thinking. But it's those of us that always trust, those of us that are dead sure, no matter what, we trust God. It's also those of us that wonder, and we don't see the point yet. We don't get it yet. We wonder what God is doing, where was God, or what is the purpose behind it. And even when someone tries to explain it to you and say, well, here's 3 points why it should all make sense, it still doesn't make sense. And it's all of us. It's unto us, those that trust and those that struggle with trusting. It's those that have conquered all their bad habits. Those are going to make all new resolutions for next year because everything was taken care of this year. They've conquered those bad habits. They've gotten themselves organized. They're on a plan now, and they're always on schedule, and they never struggle with that. They never stumble. I was flipping through my dad's Bible this afternoon. He said he had left his sermon and a Sunday school lesson, and while I was flipping through to find the little outline that he had for this morning after the kids play, I passed a Bible reading schedule, and it had all the little checks crossed off and little numbers written on the side like he'd been through it more than one time. And then I turned a few more pages, and I found another Bible reading schedule that was different than the one I just saw, and it had all the little lines crossed through it, all the checks marked off, and little numbers circled. And then I flipped again, and I found the third Bible reading schedule that was different from the other two, and they were all checked off and circled, and, you know, he'd been through it several times. And very humbling. My Bible does not look that way. I'll tell you, it's not. It doesn't look that way. It's not that organized. It's not that scheduled. I wish it was. But Jesus was sent to all of us, those that are beginning again to find where they should be, and those that are anywhere in between. If you got it all together and if you got none of it together, it's for all of us. Those that are fighting the same addictions, the same flaws in their character, those same frustrations that they might have had a year ago or 2 years ago. And wondering what else could go wrong. I pray for Laura. She fell down. She hit her face, and she went to the hospital last night. And, you know, just that, what else could happen to me now? You know, that kind of feeling of I don't know what else is going to happen, but that feeling of being overwhelmed. And maybe you do have it all together. Jesus was born for you. And maybe you're struggling with some of the same things, or new problems have come, and it came out of left field. You didn't know it was coming. And you struggle tonight. He was born unto us. Those of us that have learned and see God working in their lives right now, a miracle every day, and those that know God would never give them more than they can handle. And I know we say that phrase a lot, but sometimes it comes, and I use a lot of sarcasm, and I totally blame that on my mother, nothing on Dad. He's very genuine, but my mother and I were sarcastic about everything. In fact, we'd sing a lot of songs sarcastically, like we would sing the Hallelujah chorus. If something, you know, terrible happened, we sing Hallelujah. We always have that sarcasm going, and it's hard to kick that habit. But those that have learned the lesson and know that God is working, And that phrase, now, well, he never gives you more than you can handle. And you always wonder, well, are you sure? Are you sure? Is that really the case? But that is true. And those that know that, and those that are not sarcastic about it, they're not cynical at all. And those that have not learned that lesson yet, those that are unsure, they're hurt, offended. And the Bible talks about offending a little one. It can happen. It does happen. And those that do get off the track, and they get offended, and they get hurt so badly that they don't want to serve God. They don't want to be around other people that, you know, never takes more than you can handle. They don't want to be around those people. And those people that are hurt, he was born unto all of us, unto those of us that doubt, and unto those of us that have learned those lessons. And hopefully you can see tonight, we're all in the same boat. We all fluctuate between not worried, I'm not challenged, I'm not going to struggle, it's all cut and dry, and we go back and forth. We do waver because God decided, knowing us, in spite of us, he was still going to give us Jesus. Since God gave Jesus to us, let's not give up on any of us, or any of us give up on the other of us. It's easy to do. And when Jesus was born, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He was given to all of us. I'm going to close tonight with something I stole out of my dad's Bible. This is his little outline, and you've heard it before, but it tells what Jesus did for us. Mary had a little lamb. A young woman, a pure young woman, greatly used by God, had a lamb that pictured the Day of Atonement, pictured the spotless lamb that God chose to picture what Jesus was going to do, to shed innocent blood so that our sins could be forgiven. And all the way back to baby Jesus, that was God's plan. All the way back to the foundation of the world, that was God's plan. And Mary had a little lamb. Fleece was white as snow. Everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. And Jesus is constantly after us. And as soon as we accept him, the Bible says he'll never leave us or forsake us. He's always with us. Everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Tonight, we talked a little bit about Christmas, and again, we talked about two groups of people, and you might waver back and forth. This time of year, I do not enjoy this time of year. I try really hard. I want to be in the other camp. I want to be in the Merry Christmas, Rudolph, Santa Claus, you know, nativity scene, all of it. I love Brother Wayne's house because he decorated. Now I finally found a place where I can take my family to see Christmas decorations because that will never happen in my house. That's way too much stuff. I like to put everything away. I like to pack up as soon as it's over and put it back in the boxes, not because of what it represents, but just this time of year has not been awesome for me. And I want to be in another camp. And until I get there, until, like Sue said, I love this time of year, until I can get there, I still have a Savior that was born unto me, unto us, unto all of us. So wherever you are tonight, Mary had a lamb, and he was born unto us. And the only other thing I want to say is when we're thinking about this time of year, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be other people that you run into. And if you're not careful, you'll forget that Jesus was born unto them as well. And that's the people that, even unbelievers, because we were unbelievers before we believed, even those that may stand to oppose us, Jesus was born unto them as well. And first and foremost, we need to represent Christ in all that we do. And when we're making sure he was born for us, let's make sure that they know he was born for them too, and that we share him this season and all the time. We're going to have a word of prayer, and we'll have an invitation. Let's bow our heads, and we'll pray. Dear the Father, again, I say thank you for this day. I would have planned it differently. I would have done it differently. Thank you for your will in our life, whether we get it or whether we still need some time. And again, I know many tonight struggle and do not understand why things happen. Many struggling with things that are not going to go away, not going to be fixed tomorrow, not going to be understood next week. And it's not going to make sense, but we know that you sent a perfect gift for us, that you love us, and help us to trust you. Help us to know that you do have our best in your plan. Help us to share you with those around us. Help us to remember that you gave your son for the whole world. Help us to share that tonight. I pray you bless the invitation. Bless us. Thank you for keeping us safe. I pray that you grow our church during this time, that we honor you in all that we do. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.